I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. Yet another regulatory bump in the road for Uber and other ride-hailing services. I'm talking about the set of bills New York City approved yesterday, temporarily putting a halt on new licenses for the services. Over the next year, the city will study how these companies affect traffic congestion and how much they should be paying their drivers. Of course, New York's not the only city that's gone after Uber and other for-hire car services recently.
Uber has been facing a lot of regulatory pressure from governments in places like Spain, in the Middle East. And we also recently saw the company go to blows with the Transport Authority in London.
Johanna Buya covers transportation for Recode.
It's a very interesting time, you know, even in places where the company has been free to operate under the current regulatory regime, they're still being forced to come up against new regulatory questions. And so in Spain, the government passed bills that are similar to the bills in New York City, where the Uber's vehicle licenses have been capped.
And generally speaking, Johanna, is it basically pressure between the sharing economy that Uber operates in and established taxi companies?
Oftentimes it is. So we saw that in Spain. The reason why the government in Spain decided to pass these bills was that there was this, you know, multi-day taxi driver strike. In Brazil, there was a sort of similar situation. And Uber, as well as its competitors, were recently able to, after, you know, months of lobbying, get favorable regulations there. But oftentimes it is out of the government trying to ensure that established industries are not being completely undercut by these new technologies.
Does Uber dominate the ride-sharing industry globally?
Not exactly. That was the case maybe 2 years ago. Their international strategy is pretty interesting. Before, it used to be in the Uber 1.0 days, it was boots on the ground everywhere. You need to be everywhere. Uber needs to be the transport platform of choice for everyone in the world. That clearly was not financially sustainable. So they've pulled out of Russia, they've pulled out of China. You know, we saw in Southeast Asia, Uber had to pull out the deal that the company came to with the homegrown player Grab was more favorable than deals that Uber had with China's homegrown player Didi. Still, it was out of necessity. The company was definitely not doing as well as it expected to across Southeast Asia, and that's why they've had to pull out. In India, Uber's market share might be a little bit more comparable to its competitor there, Ola. However, it is a very difficult market to compete in.
So you just rattled off several companies, only one I've heard of, Grab, Didi, Ola. What are those local companies doing that's giving them a competitive edge?
So that's sort of the thesis that they had from the beginning. They believe that the whole ride hail game was only going to be won by companies that were homegrown, understood the local nuances of each of their markets.
Yeah, I heard about the Ola app in India. You're actually allowed to pay cash. You don't have to kind of pay through a credit card.
Yep, exactly. And so they have this, their own digital wallet that you could pay. You basically fill it up with cash. And you can just go to a local retail store that partners with the company and fill up your card or your wallet with cash right on location. And that's sort of, it sounds kind of backwards for the U.S., but in a lot of places, people are unbanked. They don't have credit cards. So being able to access this sort of digital on-demand transportation system was basically impossible without this cash payment.
Right. So local companies responding to local needs. Do the homegrown companies in other countries face the same regulatory pressures Uber is facing in those countries, or are local governments cutting them more slack?
Not that I know of. So basically, a lot of it, the dichotomy often is ride-hail versus taxi, more so than it is Uber versus their ride-hail competitor. That said, you know, there could be things that are happening behind the scenes, particularly in places where nationalism is very strong.
I noticed that in Paris during the final for the World Cup, bike delivery workers for Uber Eats went on strike in protest over their working conditions. And they did it when the French soccer fans wanted pizza during the final. So even among some Uber employees, if we can call them that, it's not all rosy.
No, and that's kind of been the case, you know, since Uber has existed. Drivers felt like they were, you know, in the beginning, they were promised one thing. They were promised a certain salary. And as Uber grew and as Uber, you know, had to sort of try to attract new drivers or new riders, they've cut their rates. And it's been a push and pull with Uber's contractors for years. So, you know, Uber is sort of facing pressure on a number of fronts. They're facing pressure from taxi drivers who are upset that Uber has kind of taken their lunch. And then they're also facing pressure from their own contractors who feel like they're not being paid well.
Johanna Buya, Recode's senior transportation reporter, speaking with us from New York. Thanks very much.
Thank you.